secretary for the day. We don't have a permanent secretary on this committee.
Weren't we going to rotate that?
We were. I think Vanessa has already done one. I did one. I think Lyndon did one also. So who's left?
Sandra did one too, I think.
No, that was the personnel committee.
Oh, personnel.
Yeah. She's not on this committee.
All right.
Do we have a volunteer?
I'll do it for tonight, but Robin's got to do it next time then.
It's very hard for me to do it the way I'm set up with, you know, I can't really type.
Well.
You take notes with a pen and pencil, that's what I do.
Yeah.
the old-fashioned way.
All right, so is that an agreeable thing next time? It's you, Robin?
I'll try.
Okay.
Do you have the list of members, Grace, in front of you? If not, I can read them to you.
I can get them. Just a minute.
Just look at the email I sent out for the draft agenda. You'll see everybody who's on there. That's the membership.
Okay. Let me find it. All right. You mean in the email list, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So Grace Aaron is here. Lydia Brazone. Dwayne Lark. I lost the list. Okay, let me get it again. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
You here, Lawrence? Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Okay. Jim Sagerton. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray. Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Oh, good. And Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
Robin Collier. I didn't call you Robin.
Here.
Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people here, which is a quorum.
Okay. Thank you.
I got Dwayne on the call, guys.
You got Dwayne? Okay, good. Dwayne, could you acknowledge your presence so we can mark you present?
Dwayne Lark on the call.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So I sent out a draft agenda, and let me read it. Roll call we just did. Minutes approval, 3-minute item. I don't think we have any minutes to approve because I didn't prepare them yet. Sorry about that. Timekeeper selection. And then preliminary discussion on recovery plan. That's a 15-minute item. And continuing discussion on restricted underwriting. That's a 60-minute item. It's postponed from the previous meeting. And 10 minutes for new business, and we have a set time to adjourn at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Are there any, can we get a motion to approve the draft agenda?
Motion to approve the draft agenda, Lawrence.
Okay. We don't need a second in a committee, so does anybody have any changes to the agenda or anything? Okay. Seeing none, are there any objections to the agenda? Okay, so the agenda is approved. Does anybody want to volunteer to be timekeeper?
I can do that, Alex. Need lines.
Okay.
James is on the call.
Oh, good evening, James. Okay, we just approved the draft agenda. Okay, so I had a 15-minute item preliminary discussion on recovery plan. I don't know what we can do about that at this point because, number one, our IED is not on the call. Number two, there's a very important component of our recovery plan that we don't know where it stands yet, and that's the EIDL loan we applied for.
Should I call Alex?
Yes, see if she wants to get on. I mean, okay. I hope she does.
All right, hold on. I'm out of feedback.
Okay. But if anybody wants to discuss anything relating to a recovery plan, with the understanding that we are not in a position to prepare one at this point, feel free to say something. I really wanted to, before digging into this topic, to see what's going to happen with that EIDL loan we applied for. That would be, in my opinion, a major aspect of any kind of recovery plan we're going to have to come up with. Anybody want to say anything? James? You have the wisdom and background of the Finance Committee behind you. Do you want to add anything to this?
No, I apologize for not responding quicker. I'm relocating right now.
Oh, okay.
I was outside doing some last-minute hurricane preparation, so a little late, and I have to get myself in position to participate in the meeting.
Oh, boy. You're expecting a hurricane in your area?
Tomorrow, yeah. In your area, too, Alex.
Oh, my. I better find a bunker to hide out in.
That's up to you.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I have a
predicting 65 to 75 mile an hour winds, and I got some things outside that would become deadly if they became airborne, so I have to, clean up a little bit.
Hello, this is Lawrence. I have Lydia on the call.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi. For a little bit, I have to drive into my office in order to send some stuff to... Are we streaming right now?
We are. It's pretty much the same agenda as the last session we had, and at that time, we wanted to begin a discussion of a recovery plan, but we kind of decided that there's some variables that we don't know yet, and we're not really in a position to do that. One of the biggest ones is what's happening with the EIDL loan. If you have any new information...
Well, that's what I'm doing that's what I'm doing right now, is that I'm driving to my office, that's pulling into the parking lot, so that I can fill out, scan, and... send to Pamela Harris's office, their person that's focused on the SBA banking stuff, is helping us out. And I have to fill out a privacy form with all of the details, and they'll move on it right away. So that's, as a matter of fact, how timely is that? That's exactly what I'm doing right now. It's like I do something on it every day. Usually I'm calling SBA, but they have been saying all last week and the week before, they basically shut down. Like they just have someone saying, oh, well, we're going to be, try back next week because the backlog is so huge, hundreds and hundreds of people and entities. And so they weren't going to respond to anyone until the following week. So then when I contacted Pamela Harris's person, which I had already been referred to, then she said, absolutely, we can help. So that's what I'm in the process of doing, and let's hope that happens. We haven't had any negative information as far as our EIDL loan goes or anything. It's just a matter of straightening out that duplicate application by WBAI back in the day. And
right.
But all of the notes when I call, I have them read it back, each agent, and they got it right. And next time when I call, then I have them read the notes from all the agents so that I'm sure that it's all going through properly. But anyway, so that's kind of a plus where that's concerned. And then we just have to wait and see. I mean, we haven't even sent them our underlying documents for the stuff because it just came to a screeching halt when BAI applied. So anyway, that's where we are with EIDL. But I think that beyond...
Yeah, go ahead.
Should I go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
So beyond EIDL, though, there's enough information to know that there are things that have to be done, and as usual, it's reducing, I mean, it's not a new formula, reducing costs and increasing our income, but also increasing our listenership. And one of the things that on the PMB meeting, who was it? Anyway, one of the directors was saying that John Livingston had said that we charge too much for membership. And, well, the only way you can charge less is if you have a greater volume, right, of membership, which means expanding that. So that's key. So I think the focus can be on that. I personally think there's a lot of duplication in the efforts between this committee and development. I think those two committees should have been collapsed together.
I'd like to formally resign from this committee, but join me when needed,
whenever you need my input. If you join me, I'd be happy to, but I can't meet that regularly.
I'm not really all that clear on the development committee and what they're doing and why they're a separate committee from the strategic planning committee, frankly, but... All right. So I kind of agree with you there.
Okay. So there are like little, in terms of strategic planning, I don't know how many people have ever been involved with strategic planning in their own business or organization and how that works. But usually you work off of, budgets and that sort of thing. I mean, we do have our audits in, but in terms of approved budgets, we haven't gone that far, and we haven't for some time. So, again, one of the things I'm recommending on the PMB is to go unit by unit. I would recommend that for the strategic planning. Each of the units has different challenges, and that's what I would do, and then put it together and see what it looks like.
Well, of course. We have to have an overall general conception of what the direction is, and from there we work out more concrete implementations, and that'll certainly mean they'll be somewhat different on each of the units.
I disagree, only because... As we know, some of the units bring in, at least historically, perhaps not right now, but they bring in, significantly larger sums of money, which is KPFA and KPFK, historically. With KPFK in trouble, then you have, larger issues. But I think that if you don't fix the things on the ground, you can't even look over the horizon to see what direction you can go in. I mean, obviously, if you're going to lose a station, for example, which I don't foresee, so let's not get crazy here, But then, obviously, that completely skews your overall plan. So I really think it has to be both, is that you can have an overview of what you want to do, which is amplify listeners, you know, if you want to just do very general global stuff. And of course, the same old thing, which we've been saying for years, bring in younger people. And that sort of thing, that's kind of, all that stuff is kind of global. But then you have to see, you have to look at each website. You have to look and see who's doing social media. You have to look and see how it's not just how each fund drive goes, but how the tools they have available to them are being utilized. That's what I would do. Otherwise, I don't see how you can create a plan. But there you go.
Okay, I don't think I disagree with anything you just said, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna run into my office if you'll excuse me now, because I've got to get this form. It's much easier to do it at my office than it is at from home.
Sure.
On my sheet by sheet scanner. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to say anything on this topic?
Tom has a note here. I'm extremely tired. I was up all night working on a technical problem, and if you cannot, I may drop off the call here. Just by falling asleep. So if you lose me, that's what's happened.
Okay, we understand. Yeah. Okay, if there's no more discussion on this topic, I think we should just move on at this point. And so the next item is the this was postponed from the last. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'd like to say something in regards to what do you think of the idea of merging or considering merging with the development task force?
I don't know. I don't really understand what they're doing, frankly. What are they doing?
That's back.
Yeah, Grace.
Yeah, I think that the development committee should be separate. There's a lot that needs to be explored about development, and I think that that's a separate project from strategic planning.
I mean, is there a mandate to look for how we can work, you know, how we can better approach development efforts? Is that what they're working on?
Because
that really,
Robin, to this deck.
Yeah, because it really is a separate kind of task from strategic planning. Strategic planning is tends to be more future oriented. Let's put it that way. Whereas development is more sort of in the present. Yeah, Robin, what did you want to say?
I would agree that it really needs to be a separate committee. I mean, development has really been neglected as far as I can tell. And it needs daily tasks, it needs monthly tasks, it needs different avenues to explore. Most nonprofits have a huge focus on development. You know, we just do these fund drives on air, fund drives. And so I agree that they're really separate tasks. I mean, they should talk to each other because they do tie into each other. If we could do better development, it would change our whole strategic plan, but they really should have a different focus.
Yeah, well, obviously any serious strategic plan would incorporate plans for development. But, you know, there's more to a strategic plan than just development.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? I think. Let's move on to the next topic.
This is Lyndon. This is Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
For a second. As far as the EIDL loan or loan, I just want to say that we really need to have our legal counsel look at this when we get it, because I'm just looking at an article from Forbes magazine that says one of the things that it can't be used for is to refinance long-term debt.
Yeah, but apparently we can use it to, I think Lydia mentioned this, that we can use it to pay off mortgages. So I agree with you. We should have a legal counsel look at it,
I don't think we have a mortgage, but.
Yeah, but we don't have. Well, we have a loan on property, so it's kind of like a mortgage.
We have a loan secured, but that's not a mortgage. But anyway,
I just wanted to point that out. It is a mortgage.
I have heard that was the goal, and I just wanted to make sure that we're, looking at that clearly. When it comes to our strategic plan.
No, absolutely. I certainly agree that we need some clarification on that. And as neither of us are real estate lawyers, and we haven't even done research on the exact restrictions involved in the EIDL loan. I think we can let's wait to see if we actually get it first, and then we'll jump in and see what we can do with it and what we can't.
Alex, can I? The loan we have for $3.2 million is a mortgage. The loan is a mortgage loan, by definition. Anyway,
but I think we all agree that we should have a lawyer look at it before we make any major decisions on what we're going to do with it once we get it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go to the underwriting issue. And this was postponed at the last meeting for consideration to this meeting. And we have there's a main motion under consideration, and there is an amendment proposed by Director Lark. Shall I read the main motion and then the proposed amendment?
Yes, please.
Okay. The main motion is called Motion on Restricted Corporate Free Underwriting Trial. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of corporate free underwriting to proceed at One Pacifica station to be subsequently determined by the IED for a 12-month trial. At the end of that period, the Pacifica National Board, together with Pacifica Management, will evaluate the effectiveness of the program. A template for an underwriting contract adhering to the guidelines of the corporate free underwriting policy to be developed separately must be followed for each underwriting contract and will be submitted to the PNB for final approval. All underwriting agreements must use the template. Every proposed underwriting contract must be submitted to the IED and PNB for their review. No agreement shall be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, or promotes racism or sexism or support for militarism, nationalism, or xenophobia. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit community organizations, small local businesses, and public interest and cultural foundations. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated with input from Pacifica's FCC attorney. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and arts. The station may only broadcast an acknowledgement of the underwriting grant, either at the beginning of the program or at the end of the program. The frequency of on-air acknowledgements can be negotiated. The acknowledgement should not be longer than for 15 seconds. And I have a note at the end of this. If this motion or some form of it is approved, it would amend a motion previously adopted by the PNB. It will require prior notification before it goes to the PNB. So that's the main motion. And now let me read Mr. Lark's proposed amendment. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of underwriting for a 12-month period. Our partners will include, but not be limited to, small and medium-sized businesses. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated and comply with established guidelines. The underwriter may not dictate contents of programs. An underwriting task force shall be established in order to prepare foundation underwriting policies. So the way this works is we need to resolve whether this amendment is accepted or not. And once we do that, then we will vote on the main motion. So who would like to be on the stack?
Well, Tom would just start.
Tom, anybody else?
Robin.
Robin. Anybody
Lawrence?
Lawrence. Anybody else? All right, we'll start with you three. Go ahead, Tom.
I have a question, Chair.
There's a question.
When is the amendment read?
The amendment was submitted at the last meeting on July 13th.
No, but should it be read into the record again? Is that
just
you just read your motion? Oh,
no,
read it?
Just,
okay, sorry.
I just did.
All right.
I read both.
All right, good, cool.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, I'm opposed to underwriting in any shape or form. It's a slippery slope that we can slide down very easily, and I will not vote for any form of underwriting at all. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Robin, you're next.
Yeah, I wonder, with either of these parts, either the Bridger motion or the amendment, what station would this happen at? You know, I mean, is there a station that wants to do underwriting? The second is,
I think there are some stations who want to do underwriting, yes.
Well, which ones are there?
I believe KPFT wants to do it. I believe WPFW, I'm not sure about WPFW, I believe they want to do it, and KPFK is actually doing it right now.
Some form, yeah, okay. Well, the question I have is, for example, with this amendment, what's a small to medium-sized business? What does that mean? I mean, you look at if this was to happen in Los Angeles, how are you going to define a small to medium-sized business? You know, I'm generally against underwriting because I think it tends to constrain what you cover and makes you, hold back on different programs because you're afraid you're going to endanger your underwriters, losing underwriters. But whatever you set up with limits, how is that going to be enforced or defined? So I pretty much agree with Tom that it's a very difficult thing to do if you don't have a really well thought out way of how it's going to be implemented. The amendment makes it much broader and more open. So I would be opposed to the amendment.
Okay. Lawrence?
Thank you. It is a slippery slope. And I think, you know, if we're even going to consider this, and
you know, I've always been one that has been against underwriting. I think if we are going to consider this, we do need to define some of the concepts, even define as Robin stated just now, determine what is a mid-sized or small business. In LA, I know one of the things that we do is we solicit donations for our fund drives when we had, you know, volunteers at the station. And then we will thank them. We will thank all of them at the end of the fund drive for donating food to sustain our volunteers. So I think that's one thing. And KPFK is kind of doing it in some form. I know the Scoreboard Center and the Ford Theater and all of that is prominent doing the fundraise and even doing the shows, doing the shows when it's not any fundraise. So I think one of the things that we need to do, we need to step back. I'm almost tempted to postpone this motion, to make a motion to postpone, till we get further matrices in regards to some of the concepts that have been outlined in the motion. So that's where I'm at with that. Thank you.
Okay. Take another stack. Who else wants to speak on this? Remember, we're now discussing the amendment as such, not the main motion.
Let me have a stab at this.
Hold on a second, Dwayne. I address both the main motion and the amendment. So I just want to.
Well, yeah, but the way this works is we discuss the amendment first, and then we discuss the main motion. But anyway,
okay.
Dwayne.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you. All right, thank you. I can understand the trepidation that some would have with just the word. If I could give some examples about other policies, laws, et cetera, that people said, no, we can't do that because we don't know how that's going to pan out. So, but the reality is what I've been asking for is alternatives, because I do hear a consistency in the last 10 years around the network. No, 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 no. But I haven't heard any of those no speakers offer new ways to bring money into our stations and into our foundation. I was taught a principle by my dad when I was young, didn't use it until I was older. And that is that if you don't like an alternative to something that is proposed and you oppose it, the least you could do is come up with a better. And since we are faced with a continued declination, a continued inverted slope of declines in our revenue and our donations and our listeners and our membership, I'm open to not doing fundraising. But I'm not open to cutting something and denying something and not offering something in return to, because we're dying. So here's my real issue here. I don't know this booty bath that most folks claim the reason they're against underwriting is that these invisible entities are going to have undue influence and control over content, program, or whatever. And I don't see one example of any of the two stations. KPFT has been doing it, I would say, for years, certainly not sanctioned. And it's something as simple as Mucky Duck, which is a, put this nicely, which is a establishment that serves alcohol and entertainment, like groups come to town and local groups, their bands and whatever. And programs have been promoting them for years. The Mucky Duck is offering
5 free tickets as a premium. The Muppet Dog has got Johnny and the Roadrunners coming to town. And if you say you came from KCFT, then you're going to get an extra drink or whatever the case might be. That's it. Underwrite. Now, the problem with that is we don't get none out of it. But the Muppet Duck gets some of our listeners to go over there and spend their money. And not only that, for those who are concerned about what is medium and what is large and what are mega businesses, to establish that, it's simply called, if your threshold, you want to make your threshold $500,000 receipt. If you make more than $500,000 in receipt, we really call that a micro business in Houston, frankly. And I think Robin alluded to L.A. would probably call it some cart. Some people who selling hot dogs on a cart make $500,000 a year. But if we get realistic about it and we say, well, we don't want to deal with corporations, mega corporations, because I point out to you an LLC, which I own too, don't do more than $100,000 a year, each one of them, but they're still corporations. So my concern and my response is, first, give us some alternatives, creating new modalities and new money streams, new donations, in light of the fact that the model of people giving as members is declining. It's a diminishing return across the spectrum with all stations and all media. Number two, give me an alternative, since you're against that. Number three, if in fact we limit it to $5 million receipts as a small business, medium-sized business, a small business is some company that has less than $250,000 in receipts, you can actually state that. But don't just blanketly say, well, number one, I'm against it because I can't define what's a small and what is a medium-sized business. And number two, don't be against it because you believe the boogeyman that nobody's fooled exists in any of the two stations who are doing it have taken over and caused programmers to say, well, okay, I can't say that because they're not going to donate next year. Because my attitude is this. If someone, and I'm not a programmer at KCFT, never been a programmer at KCFT, but I've been doing independent programming on radio for 37 years. And anybody who donated to my product or production or anything I air and they got a problem with it, I tell them to kiss, and I don't need their money. Because I'm an independent programmer, and I'm going to put out a content that's based on the truth and what the hell I want. And I believe most programmers in community radio operate that way. So this boogie bear people are so afraid of, I've never seen exist. Thank you.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're here. Alex,
yeah,
are you there?
Still here. I can hear y'all. So, thank you for listening.
Alex?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. Does anybody else want to be on the stack?
This is great for the stack, but I don't have to be next.
Well, okay. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. Well, I think that this is a false solution. It sounds like a good solution, but there are many problems with it. First of all, NPR stations are suffering right now because the underwriters have pulled back considerably. So it's not the greatest time to start trying to get underwriting. And the next thing is, because our listenership at all of our stations is so low, the amount of money per underwriting spot would be very small, and the administration of the underwriting would be expensive. So not only the administration, but there are rules and regulations regarding underwriting that would have to be followed. And we've seen a lot of mistakes regarding that at KPFK. And at KPFK, you know, KPFK has done a serious job of doing community sponsorships, we call it. That's a euphemism. It's really underwriting. And it's been going on for about 4 years, and the project is running at a loss because it's not cost-effective at our listenership level. Of course, if we had 10 times the listenership, then it might show a profit. But right now, the staff expense of running the community sponsorships is greater than the income we're getting from them. So the other thing is, when you put in nonprofits, that's kind of meaningless because the National Rifle Association is a nonprofit. There are many, many right-wing nonprofits out there. So just saying that something is nonprofit doesn't really mean anything. So a small business could be a gun store, you know, or whatever. And it takes a lot of thought to parse out what is acceptable per whatever criteria we decide to adopt. But I'm against underwriting because I think it is a slippery slope. I think that it will corrupt our programming. It has. According to Ralph Nader, who had an interview with somebody from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, it is corrupting. It has corrupted public radio and public TV to a great extent, which is why we've seen a decline in public TV and public radio coverage of a lot of different issues over the last 20 years. So, and I could go into, I'll try to find that I had a link to that interview. But for instance, what Ralph said is that what happens is the corporate underwriters come in and then they start getting people on your board. That's one of the things that happens. And the other thing is they don't give the corporate underwriting money in the examples that they gave. They don't give it for general expenses. They give it for specific program goals, for specific types of programming. So that makes the money more earmarked toward what the corporate agenda is rather than toward what the agenda is of the radio station, so, or TV station. So I just think it's a bad idea, and especially it's not only is it a bad idea, but it's impractical at this time. Our low listenership mitigates against it. Now, it may be that some amount of corporate underwriting is being done at, I think I've heard of it at KPFT and WPFW, and that may be problematical because if it's not being done correctly, it may be the announcements may be violating FCC rules and regulations, especially when it comes to payola and plugola. And that would be unfortunate. So that's with music, it's really difficult. Underwriting can be very difficult. Now, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Any further discussion? Dwayne, let's see if anybody who hasn't spoken yet wants to speak. Anybody else?
Yeah, Tom has to take another hit at it.
Okay, well, Dwayne kind of asked first, and you already went also. Okay, Dwayne, you can go, and then Tom will go, and then maybe we can wrap this up and go to a vote. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, thanks. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation at the PNB level anyway. But I believe the previous speaker's arguments are specious because, number one, there's no evidence of what is being stated. And number two, it's ridiculous. Really, on the face of it, it's just really ridiculous to say that this is the worst time to start underwriting when, in fact, it's just the opposite. That's what specious means. Because the fact of the matter is, when we start talking about restaurants, and Houston is known, if they don't have anything, they have restaurants, right?
And most of the restaurants are not corporate restaurants, although they are corporate restaurants, so they're LLCs again. They're not necessarily owned by mega corporations. The best thing to do to help these individuals out, like our barbecue places, like our chicken places, all kinds of different restaurants that people who listen to KPFT find out that they donate to KPFT, and no one's talking about a commercial. No one's talking about mimicking commercial stations, so that's just specious to even throw that out. And more important, though, I think, is that when you consider the fact that we're all interested in helping small businesses survive, and that if we can find, I know for my sake and the people that I, by the way, KPFT, it doesn't have, Grace is wrong, KPFT doesn't have corporate underwriting. Now, and it's that kind of stuff you throw out, that is, it, people suck it up who don't know any better, but it's just wrong to say it when you don't have any proof of it, because it sounds so authoritarian. It sounds so correct, but in fact, it is not. So when we make arguments, we ought to stick with the facts, like Dragnet used to say, just the facts, ma'am. And so when we stick with the facts, what we'll find is that we can control most of all the concerns that I've heard here tonight. We can control that, and that's been the rules that the FCC has are so simple and simplistic, and some would have you to believe they're so complex and intrusive. But let's deal with some facts instead of our opinions, because I believe I'm a programmer, 37 years, and I think some of the stronger arguments here have been made by non-programmers. I think that I have witnessed that there are occasions when any rule is going to be violated, either through ignorance or through malice. And we can have rules and consequences in place. And that's one of the things we don't necessarily like to do at Pacifica, and that is hold folk accountable and hold them responsible and put sanctions on them and set examples out of them. So, for the sake of time, I'm looking forward to a more robust debate, and I'm going to force it to be based on fact and not fiction when we get to the PNB. Thank you for listening.
Lawrence, okay. To this fact, Chair.
Okay. Tom, then Lawrence.
Robin, to this fact after that.
Okay. The way, from my point of view here, is the way to increase the paying membership is to start taking on the major power brokers like we used to do, and this network used to do in the 60s and 70s, which we have slacked way, way, way off from. That's what's going to bring in more membership and bring in sufficient money to operate this network. And if we don't do that, right, I mean, why am I here, right? I mean, that is why I'm here, right? I mean, we have a huge problem in this country and the rest of the world. The powers that be are going upscale very fast. And we need to turn that around, right? I mean, you can see it all around us. And if we don't take that on, nobody else is going to at this point. So that's where I stand. And if we take on underwriting, right, well, I mean, it'll just, we will never do that. And that's what's needed, right, in this country and the world. So we need to take on, this network needs to take on the major power brokers in this country and the rest of the world. And that's what I
said. Thank you, Tom. Lawrence, you're next.
Well, I was on mute. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to say this, Grace, but with all due respect, I've heard, like, extreme examples of stuff that you conflate with stuff that we're trying to hammer out. And you know, the whole idea of using the National Rifle Association as an example of a takeover, it's really extreme, and I don't take it well. It's the same argument that was put forth when people wanted to get rid of the waivers. And the whole a large part of that argument, the narrative was that people from the John Birch Society will take over, will run for the board and take over the network because they will get waivers. Now, I don't know the income levels of people in the John Birch Society, and I don't know the income levels of the National Rifles Association. But to conflate it with this underwriting amendment and the other underwriting motion and just the whole idea of underwriting is not well taken by me. And I hope that you would consider using different examples, more realistic examples. I think if we're going to be taken over, it's going to come from the inside. It's going to come from people that wanted to that put forth a referendum, and now they're plotting again to do a lawsuit. So whenever we've had problems, internal struggles like that, it's always been from the inside. So I don't take well the example of the John Birch Society or the example of the National Rifles Association, because I think they're really two extremes. Now, I could agree with you that maybe some of the underwriters supporters will run people for the board. I could see that as realistic. But again, we're talking about approaching progressive organizations or small and medium-sized businesses. I don't see that as a potential to be taken over. And I think a lot of those members will be, a lot of those people will become members. Then they may want to run to the board, for the board. No, it was high-profile people, like doing the first takeover back in '99, where you had Mary Frances Barry and all of these people. And then I could see that. Now, one of the ways to grow our membership is to provide relevant programming. That's what we do best. That's what the programmers and producers do best. The volunteers that labor without pay, without a budget to buy supplies, all of that. Those are the people we need to support, because I believe those are the people that are providing more relevant programming in Pacifica, like the affiliates. That is what will grow our membership. And yeah, going after the contours and the corporate raiders and all of that, we need to speak to power like that. Absolutely, Tom. But you know, this extreme example, I'm just tired of it. This is not the first time I've heard it. So I think, and I know Grace is articulate enough to be able to find a different example. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think Robin was next.
Well, I just want to point out I had a lot of experience with underwriting. Before we got our own station, we were on quite a few other stations that did underwriting. We had to read underwriting. One of our best friends was underwriting. She got underwriting for our station in Colorado that we were on. So, you know, I know the nuts and bolts of how underwriting works. And the FCC regulations, I do agree with Duane, they're not all that difficult. We could follow those rules. That's not the problem at all. But what I don't like about both of these proposals is they're so open-ended and so wide. I would much prefer, if someone's going to propose to do an experiment in underwriting, take a specific station, take very specific kinds of underwriters that you would accept, that are really easy to understand, and do an experiment at a station. We're talking about the actual nuts and bolts of that station, not something that is across the whole network. the IED may be doing at one station or another. Let's be specific about what we're proposing, because this is just too broad and open-ended. You know, if you're going to say small, medium business, say exactly what that means. You know, and you can have a very small business as a chapter S corporation. That's not evil. You know, so you really need to get down to specifics about what you were proposing at a specific station that wants to do it. Then we'd have something to talk about.
Okay, I'm going to make a couple of remarks and then we'll go to a vote. I'm a little disappointed by this discussion because for the most part, people were not really addressing the topic. The topic right now was the proposed amendment. And here I have to strongly disagree with Robin's last remark. There is a big difference between the main motion and the proposed amendment. The proposed amendment virtually has no restrictions on underwriting, whereas the main motion has some very specific restrictions. And I wrote that motion on the model of some of our affiliates that do have restricted forms of underwriting, and that it does propose a template for contract. It proposes a policy for reviewing every single underwriting proposal and so on. So there's a huge difference between the two proposals, between the amendment and the main motion. So anyway, let's go to a vote. Grace, can you do the vote?
Yeah, I think I can. Okay, Grace Aaron votes no. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Pass.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton?
No.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
No.
Let me count this up. We have Vanessa, how would you like to vote? Yes. Vanessa may be muted. Yes, we're voting on Dwayne's amendment to Alex's main motion. I think she's off the call for some reason. So, one, two, three yeses. We have one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four no's. Pierre, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote no.
Well, this amendment fails.
Okay, so now we go on to the main motion. The main motion is back on the agenda. Everybody clear on what the main motion is? Sorry, I read it.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is Vanessa. I got disconnected, so I'm so sorry.
Okay. Shall we let Vanessa vote on this?
We really cannot. It's
no
not,
problem. No problem. I got disconnected. No problem.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Vanessa, but it's Robert's rules.
Don't apologize. No problem.
I know. It's one of those things that seems harmless, but would open a can of worms.
Yes. Well, what was the vote? What happens with the vote? What happened? What was
The amendment failed.
Okay.
Now we're going to discuss and vote on the main motion. We still have room. We still have time on this item. So, does anybody want to be on the stack to address the main motion? It's a new stack.
Grace, I'd like to be on the stack.
James
Grace.
As well.
James. Anybody else?
Robin.
Robin. Anybody else? I'll put myself on the stack then. Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Well, the first thing is, as I mentioned earlier, I think that possibly Lawrence misunderstood. I was trying to explain that not all nonprofits are good and not all for-profits are bad. That was the point I was trying to get across. I wasn't trying to intimate that any Pacifica station would take underwriting from the Natural Rights Association or any such other nonprofit that's completely contrary to Pacifica's mission and goals. So I was just trying to make a point. The point is that I think that the underwriting that being considered at KPFT and WPFW would have been on the order of what Heather Gray mentioned in past meetings, and that was supporting ma-pa businesses in the local area, which would be basically for for-profit entities, small restaurants, pubs, things like that, hairdressers, I don't know, you name it. So that they would be. So I don't know if it protects us in any way. Say that it should be nonprofit, limited to nonprofit. But that's the first thing. The other thing is there is a pilot project that's been going on for 4 years at KCFK. I think it would be better to examine the pluses and minuses of that experiment rather than start another pilot project. I mean, we need to learn from what we've already done. And I just think, besides the fact that I'm against it for ethical and moral reasons, because I think it will lead to a corruption, and it also will harm our brand, what we say at KPFK all the time, is that we're free of outside influence from corporations, that we don't take corporate money. And the word corporate includes nonprofit corporations and for-profit corporations. So saying that we don't take corporate money includes all of those things. In terms of what I would do instead of an underwriting project would be to actively seek grants from the same entities, because I think that anybody who would give us money for underwriting, or many nonprofits and for-profit corporations who would give money for underwriting, announcing their names on the air, would possibly give us grant money. And I think that that's a better direction to go in, seeking grants rather than going for underwriting. So I would put the energy into looking at grants rather than looking for underwriting. That's about all I have to say right now. Anyway, this motion would need to be fleshed out and be more specific, as Robin said. It's really not ready for prime time, in my opinion.
Okay, James, next.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to be in the camp requesting more information and have a better look at this. We need the specifics on how to do this. I think Robin's request for an actual proposal would be very helpful to do on a, you know, as a trial basis before we authorize or, you know, vote in favor of trials in general. Let's have a specific trial to focus on. And we have the argument of there are facts, there are not facts. Well, the fact is people can say that things are facts and other people can say that they're not facts, but until we've had these things fleshed out and more fully vetted, we don't know what the facts are. We're just listening to people's opinions. I agree with examining what was done at KPFK. I think that is the best idea, totally appropriate. I am concerned with the harm to our brand, and not just in the larger world, but specifically how our current listeners and donors will view that and how that may hurt us in the short run, which we can very little afford at this time. And finally, as far as whether there are other ideas for how to do things, we had a controversy at WBAI years back where we were required by the PNB to come up with sustainability plans. There were several that were produced. Some of them were pretty good, had a lot of different ideas. And the problem has always been we don't have the staff, we don't have the people to implement them. And so, you know, before we take a threat to our brand and go off and do something like approve underwriting, which whether it will or won't corrupt us and whether it is or isn't a boogeyman or anything else, it can be viewed that way by our listeners. So I think we should be focusing on simpler things that we were never able to implement, at least at WBAI, and maybe due to lack of staff. Maybe the other stations do better at this than we do. But just for example, we don't contact our members when their membership is up. We don't make appeals at the end of the year during the seasons of giving where people could make extra donations. We don't have a regular outreach to our major donors. These are things that we could do without tampering with our brand that haven't been implemented. But again, just like it's going to be difficult to monitor underwriting for FCC violations, it's difficult to do these other things because we don't have the people. That's all for now. I'm going to take this opportunity, if you don't mind, Dwayne, to continue to make a motion to postpone consideration of this until we can have a fuller discussion.
I do object. Since you had your opportunity to speak, I would like the same opportunity.
I don't object to anyone's opportunity to speak. I'm just trying to make a motion.
A motion has been made to postpone.
Making it on top of not letting anyone else speak.
We have a motion to postpone consideration. Is this until the next meeting or what, James? I'm asking James a question. James?
Okay. I was going to say our next meeting is in about 4 weeks, I assume.
Let me take a look. I don't know if we have posted a next meeting yet.
Well, Mr. Chair, the last time I checked, Robert rules the point of order trumps the question.
Our next meeting is August 13th.
I think that's probably too soon, so I'd like to make it the meeting after that.
The meeting after that, okay.
Request for information.
What is your request for information?
I would like to understand why the request to postpone and for a more extended period of time. I'm not saying I disagree. I just don't understand what the reason is.
And prior to that, I had a point of order.
Yeah, you'd have to ask the maker of that motion. Dwayne, what is your point of order?
Well, thank you, finally. My point of order is I don't believe that if we're applying Robert Rules of Order, that the Robert Rules of Order state that it is not proper for an individual to have an opportunity to speak on an item and then make a motion to preclude any other member of the committee to make their statement or to speak on the matter.
I don't agree with you. James Mealy made a motion to postpone consideration. And that's what's up for discussion
right now. He, in fact, closing debate is what he's doing. He's closing debate is what he's doing. And that is not proper.
This is the way we always proceed with debates. The last amendment or motion to postpone takes precedence over everything else. And that's what we have to discuss right now. So I'll take a shot on the motion to postpone.
This is James.
Vanessa, please.
Vanessa,
Hello.
Okay, James, could you explain the reason for your motion and why for a more extended period of time in our next meeting?
Thank you, Vanessa. That was one of the reasons I asked to be on the stack. I wanted to answer your question. I was enumerating the reasons, or some of them, while I was voicing my opinion on the matter. And I started by saying I wanted to join with those who were basically requesting more information. And among those additional bits of information that I'd like to see is some specifics on how we would be doing this, how we would be doing it in general, and more specifics. For example, a specific, you know, let's come up with a specific example. Let's figure out what, perhaps even what station that this would be done at, but give us something solid to vote on so we can have an idea and then vote on it as a pilot project, not as an open-ended invitation to underwriting in general going forward.
James, did you read my motion? It is for a pilot project. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I did see that. Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
We had time.
I apologize for interrupting.
We had time for the side of Jeff.
Yeah, Robin, go ahead.
So that means it's not ordered. Yeah, well, you just pointed that out.
Excuse me, Robin. Yes, I mean, the proposal has a lot of detail, but it's mainly what you can't have as underwriters. It doesn't say really the exact kind of people you're really looking for. And that's why I think if we could get specific with a specific station and the exact kind of underwriters they're trying to get, are you getting just cultural organizations, for example? Are you getting just, you know, small businesses that are owned by a family? You know, be specific and not say we won't accept ones that are racist, that are this or that, that aren't these things. But what are we looking for? Because then we can talk about whether it's practical to do. Again, you know, and then look at the benefits and show what the benefits are. We don't do underwriting because we believe if we had underwriting, we wouldn't have as many listeners contribute because they say, oh, it's covered by the underwriter. So being very specific about what are going to be the benefits and what are going to be the losses by doing this.
Okay. Are we, Lawrence, are we out of time for this item?
Yeah, you've been out of time 4 minutes ago.
Okay. And we have to go to a vote immediately. And the motion on the floor is a motion to postpone consideration till the meeting after the next meeting, which I guess will be in about 4 weeks.
I'm sorry, request for information.
What is your request for information?
I'd like to make an inquiry to the motion maker as to what process would be used, since the motion to postpone that time would be for the purpose of gathering additional information, then what process would be used to do that?
I can probably say something about that. I think the maker of the motion had in mind that we should study carefully the experience of KPFK, who has been doing underwriting. I don't know what else he had in mind. James, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that the proponents and the opponents, some of them have pretty strong feelings about this matter, and they'll bring to the next occasion when we discuss this matter, they'll bring their facts and their figures and their examination of the situation if they want to convince the rest of the committee on how to proceed. So I think that probably should take care of itself with the proponents and opponents doing just that.
Okay.
We're
going to vote. What is your question, though?
My question is, who's going to put this proposal together, James? Who's going to work on it? Are you going to work on it? Because, that's what we're voting for. If not, is this going to linger and die on the vine in 2 weeks?
Okay.
We're moving. May I respond?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have a motion on the floor. I moved to postpone it. So when it came up again, we would just be discussing it again under the same motion, and people can make amendments or changes, you know, propose changes if they want to. It's, you know, the same process you would do with any other proposal.
Okay, let's go to a vote. Grace, can you call the roll on this one?
Okay, so we're voting on the motion to postpone. Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
Yes.
Okay, Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Pass.
Okay, Lyndon Foley?
Yeah.
Okay. Dwayne Lorick?
No.
All right, Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Yes.
All right. Tom Voorhees?
No.
All right. So, Vanessa, how would you
no.
like to vote? Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, four yeses, and we have 3 no. Oh, wait a second. Vanessa, you voted no. Is that correct?
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So we have 4 no's and 4 yeses. It's a tie vote, Mr. Chair. How do you wish to vote? On postponing.
Reluctantly, I'm going to vote yes.
Okay.
Not because I agree with the arguments, but because the members of this committee are just too confused at this point.
Okay, so the motion to postpone passes. Mr. Chair, can I ask a question that's not related to this motion?
Sure.
Okay, before we I'm doing the minutes as we're in the meeting. And earlier, Lyndon Foley suggested that if and when we get the EIDL loan, that is, it's reviewed by a lawyer. And nobody everyone, I think, agreed with that. Would we like to make that a motion and bring it to the PNB?
I don't really think it's necessary. I think it's kind of understood.
You can do the same thing with the PPP then.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just, it's a bigger loan than the EIDL loan is. Three times as much.
And it's not.
I just asked the question, that's all.
And it's not on our agenda in any case.
Okay. I'd like to request a point of personal privilege.
What is your point of personal privilege?
Okay. I have a hard time with the way you characterize members of this committee. You said something some time ago that we didn't know what we were doing, and then you just said that we were all confused.
I think there's confusion here.
Can I finish, please? Somebody want to put themselves on mute? Thank you. I don't think that's an appropriate way of categorizing members of this committee. Like, we don't know nothing. And you know, you should take credit for some of that confusion, because you both fought for motion also. And I don't think you were clear on it.
Okay.
So
let me make my own point of personal privilege. I never said the members of this committee don't know anything. Okay. We are out of time, we need a motion.
Did you say that we were confused?
I said members of the committee are confused. That's correct. I believe that's true.
It's a mischaracterization. Maybe you're confused.
I think it's definitely true that some members of this committee are confused. Perhaps I'm one of them. That's possible. Can we have a motion to adjourn? We are out of time.
Before we adjourn, Mr. Chair, I have a request.
What is your request?
My request is that in the future, members would afford the same privilege to each member who wants to speak on a motion and not be selfish from speaking. He can always wait. She can always wait. But it is is just disrespectful for you to be able to say what you want to say and then make a motion to cut off any further conversation or any further input. It's just outright selfish. And I hope it doesn't happen again.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to respond to that myself.
I don't really think this is a productive discussion at this
point. I'll let it go.
And we have a motion to adjourn.
Stick with the facts.
What was that?
Second to the motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objections? Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.